Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries on Sunday. Amen. Bless the name of Jesus Christ. We are a Protestant Christian church, and we meet on the internet every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. We also have two services during the week. We meet on Wednesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States and whatever time it happens to be where you are. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and Assistant Pastor Brother Bill is here, and you're all here, and the Lord is here, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in our midst. So we want to thank the Lord for his very holy presence and the move of his spirit in our midst. Amen? Amen. If you're still sleepy, then it's time to go get you a cup of coffee. Amen? Amen. It's time to rise and shine because the Holy Spirit has something to say. And we're all assembled here to hear from him. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful time to be in the kingdom of God. It's getting darker and darker and darker in the world by the second, maybe millisecond. But it's getting brighter and brighter in God's kingdom. And God has come to cleanse his own house. He's come to set the captives free in his own kingdom. He's come to remind us that we are not slaves to fear because we are the children of God. Amen? So, if you've missed all of our messages, and there are many of them, on fear, you might want to visit our website, which is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And when the page comes up across the banner, you'll see this link that says Blog Talk Archive Sermons. That's where you find our sermons, not necessarily on YouTube. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, if you want a few of them, you'll show up on YouTube. If you want all of them, you'll be on www.miracleinternetchurch.com. Praise the Lord. So, on miracleinternetchurch.com, you will find many of our sermons on fear. And God is busy telling you to get rid of it. Fear does not belong to the kingdom of God. He will not accept it. He will not receive it. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus declares that the fearful go to hell. So, it's up to you to decide. The choice is yours, whether you want to hold on to your fears or you want to finally be delivered. Amen? Amen. I want to remind our regular listeners that our fast begins today at 6 p.m. There is no candy, cookies, chips, ice cream, desserts of any sort on the fast. Amen. Every time that thought comes, of course, we will bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We will cast it down in the name of Jesus, especially every chocolate thought. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, we are grateful that the Lord is honoring this fast. He's called us to it. And the Lord, oh my goodness, okay. Remember a long time ago I told you that I could see the Lord pushing his sleeves up? Well, he's pushing both of them up. He's here to do business. And we better be ready to do business with him. Amen? He's here to do serious business. He wants us to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what he said. And he actually means it. And he's going to see to it that we get there because we are going to humble ourselves. We're going to yield to his spirit, and we're going to obey him. Amen? Yes. Amen. There are particular subjects and issues in each of our lives, and the Lord is coming down our street. If you think you can put on a blinker and shove over to another street, I have news for you. He's already blocked it. So I would suggest that you get ready to do real business with the real Jesus Christ. It does not matter what your age is chronologically or how long you've been in Christ. Jesus is coming to deal with you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he is serious about his work. One thing you can say about the Lord, he doesn't goof off. He doesn't shuffle around. he gets down to business. And so when he approaches you on a matter in your life, don't try to do that surface stuff. Oh, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. That's cute, but it's not going to work. It's time to get down to real business with him. Amen? Amen. I didn't hear too many amens, but I know I'm going to be hearing them, because if I don't, he will help you to say amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it goes. So we're going to begin this year with Holy Communion. Amen. We're going to keep taking Holy Communion because we need Holy Communion. Yes, we do. Amen. And we need the repentance and examination of self that precedes our participation and celebration in the Lord's table. So I'm going to give you a moment there to take a look at self. You, look at you. And then I'm going to give you another moment to talk to the Lord about it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you confessing our sins, our faults, our fears, our weaknesses, our inabilities, our rebellions, the curses we allow ourselves to wander back into. Everything about us, Lord, that is displeasing to you. You see, Lord Jesus, you hung on the cross for these very things. And we have decided to confess our faults before you so that you can cleanse us and deliver us from all unrighteousness. So we come before you now, Lord, confessing the truth, because we desire to be able to be loosed from the snare of the enemy and to recover in Jesus' name. Father, as we confess our faults, as we inspect ourselves, help us to speak the truth to ourselves in love. Help us not to slide past what we've been doing and pretend that it's righteousness any longer. Help us, Father, to acknowledge it for what it really is, sin. The same sin that sent you to Calvary. We had our part in it. The Jews weren't the only one. And we acknowledge our part in it today. We thank you for your willingness, Lord Jesus, to hang on the cross and die for us until it was finished. You didn't short circuit. You didn't shortcut. You went all the way. Help us, Lord, in our repentance not to short circuit, not to take shortcuts, but to go all the way with you. We thank you for your continued mercy and grace and love, which we depend on every moment. We give you praise, Lord, and we thank you. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. And when he had given thanks, after the same manner also, he took the cup. Thank you, Lord. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for not being condemned with the world. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for Holy Communion and what it means to each believer, what it means to you. We want to thank you that we have this continued opportunity to come before you, to be cleansed, to be healed, to be sanctified, to be delivered. We want to thank you for that, Lord. We don't take it for granted. This is not a ritual that we partake of. This is a celebration. And we thank you that you obtained the victory for us, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me go there first. Amen. Yeah. Those of you who are unaware, we exclusively use the King James Version of the Bible. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that the Spirit of God made us fearfully and wonderfully, and the breath of Almighty God has given us life. So we praise you, Lord. Marvelous are your works. You have made us to know this. And our bodies, which you have graciously provided, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to you, Lord. We are not our own. Just as you creatively designed Solomon's temple, so much more have you designed our temple, as we are made in your image and likeness. Father, we honor the gender that you assigned to us before conception. Lord, you have caused breath to enter into us and made us to live. We honor you as our divine creator. Besides you, there is none other. You have redeemed our lives from death and given to us a new life through your Son, Jesus Christ. It was not by any righteousness that we have done of ourselves, but according to your mercy, you saved us. Lord, we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. Hallelujah. We thank you for your warring, linking angels around us. Hallelujah. We thank you for your praising angels over us, Lord. We thank you for the very blood of Jesus coursing through the very atmosphere where we are right now. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, because you have supplied all of our need according to your riches and glory. So we cast all of our cares upon you, Lord, because we know that you care for us. We declare that you allow and privilege us with an opportunity to walk in divine health. For you are our God who heals all of our diseases, and by your stripes we have been healed. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we return to the senders all of the warfare that we received in 2021. And we ask you, Lord, to aim it against their spirituals. Whatever their spiritual powers are, whatever demons attend to them regularly, whatever spirits come to answer their demonic prayers, we aim the warfare there, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You're the Lord our God who smited. We throw off the black oil in Jesus' name. We throw off the black oil in Jesus' name. We throw off the black oil in Jesus' name. And we return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus. Everything that the enemy brought against us last year, Lord, we return it now in Jesus' name. All of it, all of it, all of it from the root. We uproot it and we return it now in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of the people of God. Come up and out of the people of God right now. Deep breath and cough. Deep breath and cough. Deep breath and cough in Jesus' name. For our God is a mighty deliverer. A mighty deliverer is he. Come up and out of God's people. All the worry, all the frustration, all the stress, all the oppression, all the depression, all the satanic attacks. We return them all to the senders now in the name of Jesus. You did not order that for us, Lord. That's not your will for our lives. We send it back from whence it came, all of it, every bit of it, all of it, all of it, all of it from last year. We send it all back now in the name of Jesus Christ. Risa, every time we were attacked, every attack, every attack, every attack must go back in Jesus' name. Every attack, every attack, every attack in Jesus' name. Whether it was in our body or in our finances or on our job or in our families or in our sleep or on our personal selves, whether it was in our minds or in our hearts, wherever it was, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack, every attack, every attack must go back in the name of Jesus. Every impediment to righteousness, we bind you. And we send you back where you came from in the name of Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Every stab in the back, we return it in the name of Jesus. Every defeat, we return it in the name of Jesus. We send it all back in the name of Jesus. We pull out every fiery dart, every pin, every needle, every spear, every javelin, every sword against us. We return it in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every thought, every spirit, sent by the enemy to thwart us, to stop us, to hinder us, Rupa, to confuse us. We send all confusion back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every deception, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every lie, every partial truth, which is a lie, we send it all back. Every evil report, we send it back in Jesus' name. All transference of evil spirits, we send it back in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. You have no right to be there. We break the bands of wickedness in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Every darkness, we send it back, for we are the children of God's light in Jesus' name. Every darkness, we send it back. Every demon that stalked us, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit that monitored us and spied on us, all the trolls that were sent, we send them back in Jesus' name. We send blindness back to them in the name of Jesus, for our eyes are open in Christ. We send it right back. It's not ours. It's not ours. All dullness of mind, can't figure out what you're doing. All forgetfulness, we send it back in Jesus' name. All murmuring and complaining and arguments and strife and bitterness and division and unforgiveness, we send it back where it came from in Jesus' name. All embattlement, we send them back in Jesus' name. Every skirmish, every battle that the enemy sent against us, ha, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. We send it back. Every temptation, every lure, every trap, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every temptation to sin, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every temptation to sin, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. All the doubt, all the fear, and all the unbelief, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his kingdom in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in our places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks. We bind the sources of the witchcraft attacks against us in Jesus' name. We return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking, listening, reporters, watchers, peeps, whispers, familiar demons, all electronic, digital, and technology demons and their attacks. Every demon that has tracked us in traffic, we bind him. We reverse his order, and we send him back where he came from in the name of Jesus Christ. All of those devils that followed us in traffic, all of those Masonic witchcraft demons, we send them back with their orders in the name of Jesus Christ. We send them back. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, Kundalini spirits and their attacks, water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, everything coming off the cell towers, all sorcery devils and their attacks, seducing, womanizing, and drone attacks, whoredom spirits and their attacks, the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons and their attacks, microwave and their attacks, EMF, their attacks, debilitating sonic frequencies and the work of every druid, all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind you in the name of Jesus, and we disconnect ourselves from every such demon in Jesus' name. We want to be free, Lord. Your people want to be free. We bind all the voices of the stranger in their attacks and the charmers and seducers as well. All the hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, mystic rituals and their intent. We bind all microwave frequency weapons and 5G and components in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all the cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, American, Australian, Canadian, Native, Caribbean, Latin American, black and white magic. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we send it back where it came from, Rusha Deriya. All the demons that come from under the sea that are sent against the people of God, we bind them in Jesus' holy name, and we turn them over to the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. We turn them over to the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits. Trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind impulsivity, inattention, racing mind, hyperactivity. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship and witchcraft dedications in Jesus' name. We bind every spell and every treatment that the enemy has done to our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, supplanting the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. Did you get that, Mr. Fawcett? And we bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We return to the sender according to the covenant all and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rites, rituals, ceremonies, sacrifices, proclamations, pronouncements, vows, root work, or sin against us, astral projections, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertaineth to us. No demon, no wicked person or unrighteous event left behind in Jesus' holy name. Thank you. We bind the bondage of the generation of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending, the New World Order, the New Age movement, the spirit and works of the oppressors, the spirit and the children of disobedience, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe in fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody take a deep breath and release your prayer languages. Take a deep breath and release your prayer language in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride and his entire kingdom in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Baphomet, Basilek, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Atlas, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, and Neptune. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, codes, triggers, tumors, and any such thing, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the power of every Masonic ritual, ceremony, its intent, the work of the Demole, all of their Aruka artifacts, we bind in Jesus' name. All the prayers that they pray for their family, we bind up in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head. According to the scriptures, we bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce them and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads, as well as their mind control in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil harvest of unbelief in accord with Calvary. We ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Now, some of you, this is the most that you've used your prayer language all week. Amen. We're going to do better this year, right? Praise the Lord. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty right hand. We return all the evil that's been sent to us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we cut ourselves free from all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, roads, soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and every other form of agreement with the demonic realm. If we've been told a lie and we receive the lie, Lord, we repent of it now in Jesus' name. And we disconnect ourselves from the lie. and the liar. We thank you. We break down our walls of protection around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, nanobots, shamans, sorcerers, divinators, and such in Jesus' name. We break the power of all the vexes, spells, curses, love spells, charms, fetishes, voodoo, sorcery, magic, mind control, bewitchments, potions, jinxes, death, destruction, torment, sickness, all psychic warfare, all incantations, candle burnings, root works, crystals, hoodoo, tribal rituals and sins, all chantings, and everything being sent to us from the enemy's camp in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for cleansing. We thank you for this fast. We thank you for the work that you will do in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, church. Put your hands together for Jesus. Well. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So, when the Lord comes to talk to you about whatever he's going to talk to you about on this fast, be prompt to respond to him. Because we don't ignore the Holy Spirit, do we? Amen. Be prompt to respond to him, because we do not ignore the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. There, that's perfect. So today, saints, we're going to talk about the critique. The critique is what we're going to talk about today. Father, I want to thank you for this word. It's a penetrating word. It's a convicting word. It's a cleansing word. It's a word to get us back in line with you. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. A critique is a critical analysis or evaluation of a subject, situation, or work. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible tells us that a saint will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. A saint will be satisfied with the good, with good. We all want good, don't we? Well, we're going to find out how we can get some. Amen? A good saint will be contented, well-pleased, and satisfied with good by the fruit or result of his mouth and speech, the Bible tells us. Well, are you well-pleased with the results of your speech? Well, if not, continue to listen. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eye. But he that hearkeneth, remember we decided and we learned that hearken means to listen with the full intent to obey. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That's what the Bible says. A fool will not listen to wise counsel. He only concerns himself with his own thoughts. A fool thinks that he needs no advice. But a wise person listens to others. Verse 17. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. That's a good thing, Lord. So, saints, when we speak, we can choose to speak forth truth, or we can choose to speak forth lies and deceit. The choice is ours. It's up to us. simply because you believe or most feel, you know, we talked about all those feelings, that your words give forth truth does not mean that they actually do. Simply because you believe that your feelings are leading you to words that give forth truth does not mean that they actually do. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Perhaps you should consult with him first. Before you open your mouth and release your opinion as absolute truth, perhaps you should check in with the Holy Spirit first. Because afterwards, you know, after all, we decided that we wanted to receive good from the fruit or result of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, reminds us once again of what the Lord has been trying to teach us for years. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not, that's N-O-T, not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. The scripture just told us that's what a fool does. The fool is wise in his own eyes. He's conceited. He thinks everything that he does is right. Everything that he says is perfect. Fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. Depart from the evil that a fool always does. Now let me remind you of this. If you are a descendant of fools, what does that mean to you? When I first pointed that out to you, I said this. If you are the descendant of fools, and every seed reproduces after its own kind, then you need to go do business with Jesus Christ. Because God takes no pleasure in a fool. And many of you let that word slide right by you, and you didn't do a thing with it. Well, it's back. Hallelujah, it's back. And it's time to do something about that. Amen? Amen. So, has the Lord approved your words? Well, did he? All these words. You know, we talk all the time. We have plenty to say. Has the Lord approved your words? If not, why are you speaking them? If he has not approved them, why are they coming forth out of your mouth? In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth evil hates the light of the gospel. He doesn't come to the light because he doesn't want God pointing out that he's in sin and or backslidden. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God, that his deeds may be shown to be based in the Lord, that he's walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen? Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. A false witness opens his mouth and gives testimony to deception. Have you done that? Have you opened your mouth and said things that were actually not true? And thereby becoming a false witness that gives testimony to deceit? Have you ever done that? Well, think about it for a while. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Some saints like to make cutting remarks. These comments are intended to injure the feelings of others. Saints, do you behave this way? Cutting remarks are unkind. You see, love is patient and kind. Cutting remarks are unkind and many times not truthful. Their sole purpose is to hurt someone's feelings, oftentimes to get back at the person through vengeance or hatred or spite. Many times, saints make cutting remarks to help themselves feel superior or powerful. I'll show you a thing or two. Or this may happen. A contest of one-upmanship begins, and the demon of strife is dealing the card. Have you been involved in that thing? You see, the cutting remark is intentional and is aimed to do just that, cut, sever, injure. Words have power because words are actually spirit. If you have been assaulted in such a manner, then forgive from your heart as Jesus did. Then seek treatment from the Lord for your wound, because there is a wound. There is a wound. You know, you can blow it off and pretend, oh, I'm okay. No, there's a wound left. And if left unattended, it gets worse. You see, God will be standing right there ready to heal your wound in that moment. But if in your pride and self-sufficiency, you march right on as though nothing happened at all, well, the wound is still there now, isn't it? And the Lord is still waiting. Amen? Amen. That's the truth. It is very important that you cover your irritation and anger with the love of God, lest you open a door to the enemy. If your conversation must continue, then deal with the situation, dealing with the attacker's point of view in a manner which is non-judgmental but truthfully factual. You don't have to ignore the facts. You're not supposed to, because the righteous testify to the truth. If you threw a spitball at me, then you actually did do that, and I don't have to pretend that you didn't. However, I can forgive you and not hold it against you, and I can walk away and mind my own business. If our conversation or interchange must continue, then I can very non-judgmentally but factually say, I'm aware that you sent a spitball to me. And you don't have to go on and on and on and on about how nasty and unclean and, you know, COVID and all that. You don't have to go into all that. You can just simply say what happened and stop right there. You can put a period right there, and you can seal your lips. Amen. Amen. You see, saints, cutting remarks can undermine confidence and faith. And isn't that what the enemy wants anyway? If you're not able to handle your emotions righteously, then keep your mouth closed and remove yourself from the combat zone. So I know that there's somebody that's going to say, well, I sleep with the enemy. And how am I supposed to remove myself from the combat zone? Well, don't you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus? Don't you wear the armor of God? Aren't you surrounded by the wall of fire of God with his very glory in the midst? Don't the warring, linking angels surround you? Aren't the praising angels covering you? Aren't you in your own booth of praise and worship by then? Amen. So what do you mean? I sleep with the enemy, and I can't remove myself from the combat zone. What do you mean? You have his wall of fire surrounding you with his very glory in the midst. Or did you just not think of it that way? Amen. If so, amen. So, Proverbs 12:18 also says that the tongue of the wise is health. Health. Sometimes we curse ourselves because we don't speak health over ourselves. Health over our minds, over our emotions, over our bodies, over our spirits, over our environment. We can speak blessings to ourselves. Because death and life is in the power of our tongue. Amen? We can speak blessings over ourselves. Contrarily, the tongue of a wise person ministers health to the hearers. Those that hear you need to hear blessing. They need to hear the good fruit coming forth from your mouth, not the fear, not the confusion, not the doubt, not the unbelief. You see, when you open your mouth and you release all of those devils, the enemy's going to grab hold of them and manifest them for you. So you're in a war against yourself. Is that smart? I don't think so. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Lord is saying that he wants you for homework to choose three scriptures of blessing from the Bible, just three. And throughout this fast, each day, he wants you to confess those three scriptures of blessing over your own life. Three. Which three? Well, that's between you and the Holy Spirit now, isn't it? You are to proclaim those three scriptures over yourself every day of this fast and beyond. In Jesus' name. Amen? You see, you can speak healing over yourself if you would. It's up to you. It's your choice. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, the Bible says, speak the word only. This is what the centurion said to Jesus. Lord, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Beelzebub, I bind you in Jesus' name. I know you don't like this sermon. Lord, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Well, aren't you in Christ Jesus? Aren't you flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone? Didn't he come to abide and live in you? So can you open your mouth in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of the Lord, and release blessing over yourself? Is that possible, saint? Could that be? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, and hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Well, aren't you your neighbor too? The hypocrite not only destroys other people, but himself. Aren't you your neighbor? You ought to be. You ought to be. The destroyer is a demon that often uses any loose, wicked, and foolish mouth that is available to work evil. Does he use your mouth? Evil words are aimed to destroy the work of God. But the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The saint who keeps his mouth keeps his own life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The saint who keeps his mouth and his tongue righteously keeps his own soul from trouble. My. From trouble. I just can't make it. I just can't go any further. I just can't take any more. Really? When the word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, must we defeat ourselves? You know, we already have the enemy and the enemies of God working against us. But must we join their side? Must we? Choose wisely, saint. Self-control covers the tongue as well. Yes, the fruit or outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we will control our tongue. We will control our tongue. Every saint must learn to do this. A quick remark in backlash can ruin everything. Pride, we talked about pride recently, leads to controversy and argument. Remember, saints, our words will find their way back to us in bitterness or in sweetness. I like sweet myself. Amen. To criticize means that a judgment of disapproval has been made and most often has been spoken. In the mind, fault has been determined and assessed to some situation, event, or person. In the mind, the fault has been evaluated, and in most cases, the penalty for such has been determined. We do this in the mind. But has this assessment received the approval of the righteous judge? Has it? Or is it rooted in pride and self-righteousness, or perhaps deception and error? The Spirit of Truth, God the Holy Spirit, knows the answer. Have you consulted with him? Well, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, for everyone who finds their hobby in wallowing in their feelings and their emotions, this scripture says that they're deceitful and desperately wicked. Why are you wallowing there? That's just not the place. It's not right for a saint to do that. It's not righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus speaking to everyone, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear or reverence is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. God is saying your own wrong is going to come back and get in your face, and it's going to show you that you're wrong. Amen? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. We talked about that last time, the froward mouth, didn't we? If you missed that message, you should go back and recast it. It's very important. We talked about that in our last sermon, didn't we, Saint? The frowardness of the mouth. We know that the upright in heart speak that which is helpful, but out of the mouth of the wicked heart comes rebellion. Out of the mouth of the wicked heart comes rebellion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, shall we? Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. We're talking still about the critique. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So, if you pass out judgment with a teaspoon, it'll come back to you in a teaspoon. But if you use a 5-gallon bucket, it'll come back to you in a 5-gallon bucket. If you use a dumpster, it'll come back to you in a dumpster. The choice is yours. If you choose not to sow judgmental criticisms, perhaps you won't reap so many of its distasteful fruits. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, saints, some of us need to remember our ways and be ashamed. How weak in faith we have been. Our God can show us his mercy, or he can recompense our way upon our own head. Why are we making a great mountain of the speck that, according to our assessment, is in our neighbor's eye without first considering the tree log that is not only in our own eye, but is protruding out of the back of our head? Why would we do that? how dangerous we have become. Of all people, should you be the one to determine what to do about the speck in your brother's eye? How can you be? You have an emergency case. You need an ambulance to bring you to the divine lumberjack. The Bible says to first get rid of that tree log in your own head. First things come first. If someone treated you in this way, you'd be sulking and whining for weeks. By the way, whining is not of God. You're such an inspector, but can you withstand the inspections of the righteous judge? Well, can you? Psalm 130, verse 3. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God goes around labeling each one of us for all of our iniquities and all of our wrongdoing and every single thing we've done wrong, who could stand before him? Who? Let's go visit with Job, shall we? Job chapter 15. Let's go to verse 13. Job chapter 15, verse 13. Thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yes, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. So now with all our weaknesses, and sins and faults, why are we pointing fingers at someone else? You know what they taught you when you were little. If you point your finger at someone else, you have four of them pointing back at you. But we conveniently forgot that once we thought we were grown. We thought that no longer applied to us. That was for then. It doesn't apply now. However, the scriptures aren't backing that up now, are they? Amen. Job chapter 25, verse 5. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. Surprised that we're so wonderful. You know, we get up, oh, Lord, here I am, your wonderful child. Thank you for the blood, Lord, because if it weren't for the blood, we would all be in hell already. Amen? It is so. So you pride yourself on your meticulous inspections, don't you? You're such an inspector. You have your little chart. You have your little blocks you check off, and then you sign off at the end. But did the righteous judge sign off with you? You see, a double standard is easy to find. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to start there. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. for thou that judgest doest the same thing. See, that's how it's so easy for you to point it out in other people. It's in you. It's like looking in a mirror. And you say, I see it over there. Yeah, but guess what? It's in you too. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God's judgment is always right. Ours is faulty, but he is never faulty. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now, we watched somebody last week stand up before an entire nation and falsely accuse somebody. But do we do that too? We had a quick opinion about what that person did. And we know they were wrong because we know it violates the scripture. But guess what? When we do it, it violates the scripture too. Amen? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that means you don't feel sorry for no such sin. You decided it's not a sin. Treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render, pay back, give back to you, to every man according to his deeds. Think about it. It's something to think about. Yes, it is. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You promoted yourself from doer to judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Who gave you permission to judge somebody else? Where's your permission slip? Where's your license to judge somebody else? Who did that? Do we place blame in unrighteousness? Well, it's your fault, not mine. And you always, blah, da, 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 da. And you always, blah, da, 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 da. And you always, blah, da, 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 da. Do we pass on to others sharp or severe disapproval? And the church of God says, yes, Lord, we do. Come on, fess up, because you know it's the truth. You may as well say, ouch, it's the truth. You know full well that we pass on to others sharp and severe disapproval. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Don't we? Have we erected walls of rejection due to our own unrighteous judgment? Okay, repeat after Pastor. Yes, Lord, we have.
Yes, Lord, we have.
Because we do it to ourselves too, Lord.
Do it to ourselves too. Boy.
See, you really do love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all those self-hatreds, well, you pass them right on to your neighbor, and thus violating the law of love. Amen? Amen. Simply because we feel that we are right does not mean that we are right or that Jesus agrees with our judgment of self being right. It's the truth. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How are you to walk with the Holy Spirit if he's not in agreement with you? How can that happen? Just how can that happen? Well, let's go visit with Jonah. Jonah's in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Jonah. Yes, it's Jonah. He's coming to the rescue today. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Yay. And proclaimed a fast. Yay. And put on sackcloth, even from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. That included nursing babies. They fasted too. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. This is their tradition in that culture for beginning repentance before the Lord. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yes, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Mm-hmm. You see, the people of Nineveh took God serious. When Jonah told them God was coming to destroy them, they didn't act like, oh, passe, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. They used to preach that back in the 80s. I heard that before. No, they took God serious. They hearkened with intent to obey. They listened. They took God seriously, and they got down to business with him. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Didn't I say this already, Lord? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. O God, if you're not going to heal me, kill me. Seriously. Can we grow up? For it is better for me to die than to live. Must we be so melodramatic? Can't we just deal with God in simplicity and truth? Must we make it a grand affair with a show, you know? Oh, God! Must we go there? Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry In other words, Jonah, does it make sense for you to be angry? Really? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. How gracious God is. Jonah is pulling an attitude in the flesh big time. I mean, think about it. He just got barfed up from a whale. He didn't have enough back down there with that whale. He was down there with all that upset stomach and indigestion that whale had. And when the whale couldn't take it anymore, God said, okay, get rid of him. And he barfed him. He vomited him up. So you know what Jonah smelled like. And this is the way he's going to go preach to the people of Nineveh, wrapped in seaweed and smelling like fat. Whew. There's better ways to serve the Lord's saints. I'm here to tell you. So God was gracious to Jonah while Jonah was having an attitude. And he prepared a gourd and made it to come up. It bloomed so it could come up and be a shadow and deliver Jonah from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Okay, let's see if Jonah's learned his lesson. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. There he goes again. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. Pastor, don't you ever just want to die? Somebody said that to me. And my answer is no. I'm not leaving until it's time to leave. I have too much work to do in the kingdom. I'm trying to get it done. I don't have time to consider dying. I'm too busy living for the Lord. I will leave when the Holy Spirit says, up, and I'm gone. I won't send you a postcard. So if you're still here, don't expect to hear from me. If you ask the Lord, he might show you what's going on. Me and Pastor before his throne dancing around as if nothing bad ever happened. You know, Pastor never did stop dancing. She just kept right on. She just kept on going, you see. That's her thing to do. So we're back to Jonah, and he's still hollering about, oh, I just want to die. That's called a pity party. Jesus does not attend pity parties. Why? Because there's sin. That's why. Whining and pity parties don't turn him on. You get it? Amen. You know I'm right. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. No, let me back up to verse 9. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Are you upset because that gourd's gone? Seriously? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Now, that's just straight up stubborn. That's just straight up stubborn and rebellious. God's trying to work with Jonah and his bad attitude, and Jonah just insists on holding on to his bad attitude. And why are we talking about this? Because the saints do this. We get in our pout, in our funk, in our soul, and we're just going to sit there. And we're going to sit there. And we're going to be stubborn with it because we're mad and we're offended and we're this and that and the other. And we're so hurt, you know. I'm so crushed. Seriously. Some of us need Oscars for the way we behave out of church. If Hollywood only knew that there are better actors in the body of Christ they wouldn't keep going out there to those other folks. Because the saints can show them a thing or two, can't they? Mm-hmm. If so. So here we have Jonah. God has been kind enough to redirect him back into his will so that he can do the will of God. Then Jonah still has an attitude. He's going to keep an attitude. He's not going to get rid of his attitude, and he's determined that he's going to die with this attitude. So you're going to tell God, you need to just take me on home. Did God ask your opinion? Did he send you a message by Gabriel? Did Gabriel come to you and say, God wants to know if you'd like to come home today? Did he do that? So what are you doing offering this prideful opinion to the Lord of hosts, to your Savior and Deliverer, to your Healer? What? Oh, I just can't take anymore. I just can't take it. I get up to walk down the street and all the people stare at me. Well, hon, they stare at everything else too. Put on your T-shirt that says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And then I'll have something to look at for real. Amen? Amen. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored. You didn't do a thing, and you had pity on that gourd. Neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. They can't figure out what they're doing. And I didn't destroy them. You knew what you were doing when you took that ship, their cruise ship, to go on a vacation. And I let you live down in the belly of a whale. Isn't it time to grow up, Jonah? Isn't it? Well, all the Jonahs in church need to just admit to the Lord it's growing up time. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. See, we have all these judgments, and we just know we are right. Yes, we do. So, we have a tendency to look at folks and come up with our estimation of who they are, what their value is, and what they can and cannot do. But the Bible says, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Because I have refused that one. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I remember an occasion when I was at a meeting, a professional meeting, and the Lord told me, get up and go to the bathroom. I said, yes, sir, and I got up. It was being held in a local hotel here, and I went to the bathroom. And the Lord told me, I want you to run for president of this organization. And so I said, yes, sir. I guarantee you it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because he said so. So I went back into the meeting. We sat down, had the meeting, and sure enough, one of the persons locally suggested that I be the president of the organization. And I became the president of the organization. However, in that same room of my colleagues and people that had gone to college and high school with me, there were persons who looked down their nose at me. Because the, in their determination, I couldn't really do that. Well, guess what? God showed them up. He made them to look like fools. I did what no other president before me had ever done. In 30 days, I had them on a website. They were worldwide. The whole world could find out about it. They were shocked because I didn't call for a committee of 10 people to sit back and talk about it for 2 months, 3 months, and 4 months. No. One person, 30 days, a complete website. And it overshadowed the website of the national organization. It made Jacksonville look good. All I did was be connected to the right person by the Holy Spirit. And the right person knew how to help me and to say, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, and you ought to do the other. And what did I do? I humbled my happy little self, and I received the counsel of the one who knew what I ought to do, and I did it. Mm-hmm. God gave that organization an opportunity to move from being a club to an organization. There is a difference. But you see, you can't tell by just looking at somebody and dealing with your own personal judgment of them. Nor can you sit back and judge every situation according to your own thoughts and feelings and think that you're going to be right all the time. We need to learn to submit our judgment, our assessment to the Lord. Amen? Man is faulty. He's never been right all the time. Amen? Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning with verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 8. Okay, Lord. Ah. All right, Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, the Lord speaking to you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen? Amen. We know God's right. We just need to admit it. That would mean we're wrong. Either we're in agreement with him and we're right, or we're in disagreement with him and we're wrong. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for the benediction. Amen. Let's stand for the benediction. Now, saints, you know that our fast starts at 6 p.m. today. So if you want to eat some cookies and ice cream, you got to get it in before 6. Amen. Because just as soon as it's 6, it's over. That does not mean go home and eat half a gallon of ice cream.
No. A whole gallon.
No. Okay. That does not mean go through the whole house finding all the chocolates you can find. I tell you, Lord, this thing. That does not mean go find all those places where you stashed all your goodies. Lord, help the saints. The saints need to eat reasonably today. Amen? And take in some fluids so you can help your body eliminate all that stuff you shoved in because you know you were going on a fast. You know how you act. You know a fast is coming, so what are you doing? It's pizza time. Not a. You know, yes, you need some vegetables. Yes, you need some water. You need to start preparing your body for 6 o'clock today. Amen. Doesn't mean you can't eat anything. It's just that you use wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Brother Bill isn't going to have any chocolate today. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, the benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. And we're going to recast this sermon to make sure we get it right, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Pastor is so proud of you. Because you plan to do good works in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And when God tells you you're wrong, you're not going to pretend you didn't hear him. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Happy fasting. Get your soups ready. And we will see you on Wednesday. Praise the Lord.